This is Mobile Suit Breakdown's July 2020 bonus episode for supporters. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to watch an episode of Gundam with us? Well, this month, when we sat down to watch episodes 1 and 2 of Gundam Double Zeta, we clipped on a pair of lapel mics so that we could record our truly unvarnished first reactions. In fact, the best way to listen to this episode might be to sync it up with Double Zeta while you watch the first two episodes. Then you'll get as close to the experience of watching with us as you can. I haven't changed the timing in this episode at all, so it should stay synced up to the show. Except that sometimes we do pause and rewind a little bit. I'll include some helpful notes throughout the episode that should make it easier to stay synced up. Now, the recording is going to start a few minutes into the first episode because it didn't occur to us to do this until after we'd already watched about 5 minutes of Prelude to Double Zeta. So to sync it up properly, you should pause the first episode. Again, that's Prelude to Double Zeta at the 4-minute, 57-second mark. That's when Amuro is in the Gundam's cockpit and looking at the manual, but before he's said anything. And then you're going to press play when you hear this tone. Don't do it now, but next time you hear this tone, hit play.
So, initial reactions to Double Zeta.
From
the title card of the episode through what, like the first 2 minutes, it really just feels like somebody who just learned how to use PowerPoint and wants to use all the fancy, like, sliding transitions and text movement, and they're just very excited about it.
We haven't seen a star wipe yet.
But, yeah. And this feels like a very weird moment to be like, okay, let's recap why humanity is in space and first Gundam.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
the biggest time gap was between the releases of first Gundam and Zeta.
Yes.
So it does feel like Zeta would have been the time to do this.
Yes.
This comes out right after Zeta has finished. This feels like a very weird time.
So my theory is that the team that was making the first episode of Double Zeta needed a little more time. And that this got thrown together on the quick.
All right, well, we'll see, won't we?
So the animation they've used is from the Gundam compilation movies.
Okay, so slightly better quality.
Yeah.
There's that slide again.
There are a few continuity differences between the movies and the show. I wonder if this implies that Zeta and Double Zeta take place in movie continuity rather than show continuity.
Just laying it out very explicitly.
Wait, Quattro really was Char? I thought he was just lying.
It's a little late to make that joke. We know who he is. Camille, just like Amuro. Oh my god. What? Whoa, yeah. We're getting a lot of funky transitions. Someone was having a lot of fun with whatever tools do that. It's really hard for me to take this seriously right now. Because he's a bad dad. He didn't even notice until it was too late, probably.
Yeah.
We are referring to Amuro being like, Char, why didn't you stomp Camille and Four before it got to this point? Basically, like, why didn't you keep them apart so they wouldn't fall in love with each other? I highly doubt Char even noticed that that was happening. Also, pretty sure it started under Amuro's watch, so...
Well, but Amuro did tell him.
Yeah.
Watch out for new type girls.
They f*** you up.
It will break your heart.
I'm willing to admit it. I bought a lipstick the color of Four's lipstick.
It looked good on you.
That, like, light purpley color.
You also dyed your hair that color.
I did. That was fun.
That was really good.
Am I a brave enough dude to bleach my hair, which I have never done before? Because... if I want to do bright colors, I have to pre-bleach
True.
It, otherwise they don't take.
Well, I think you should watch a little bit more of Double Zeta before you decide which character you're going to...
which character I want to look like this year?
Yeah.
But my hair is short. What will I do if the character I want to look like has long hair?
Nina, it was the late 80s. I'm sure at least somebody has short hair.
Well, right, but it might not be my fave.
Then you will have to either grow or cut your hair.
Space Moo
Moo. So you wouldn't know this because you haven't watched any of the other episodes, but it's pretty clear that this one has not been, like, either not been preserved as well, or not been restored, or for whatever reason, the animation quality in this one is lower. Well, not the animation, well.
The picture quality.
Yeah, the picture quality.
We wouldn't be talking over the episode so much, except that most of it is, like, just straight animation from First Gundam and Zeta.
Yeah, right now we're in the middle of Fa having a flashback to events she wasn't actually present for.
Well, what?
Yeah, we are,
I I feel like
we're like 10 minutes in, and the only new animation we've gotten so far are these celestial spheres representing the dead people floating through space.
I feel like there must have been some leap in computer animation, and they really wanted to use it.
Yeah. So there's a bit of trivia about the first.
Oh my god. Pause.
Who's so that mobile suitie mom?
Yeah, they just did a little intercut with the kids of being like, let's learn about mobile suits. And then they're like, which mobile suit is this silhouette? It's the Hyakushiki. And now they're going to tell us about the Hyakushiki. Wow. Its pilot is this man.
Quattro Bajina. Do you know who Quattro Bajina is?
Char's new color as Lieutenant Quattro is gold.
It's all a little this annoying. Is being hosted by Shinta and Kum, by the way.
Yeah, and the narrator. It's a little annoying, though, that they answer what mobile suit it is before you can see it.
Mm.
They, like, slowly fill in the silhouette. It starts blank, and then it tiles to fill in.
Hang on, we have to acknowledge for a moment that they just told us the origin of the Rick Diaz's name.
Oh!
Which is its name for Bartholomew Diaz,
who?
Discoverer of the Cape of Good Horn?
No, it's Cape Horn or the Cape of Good Hope. You're mixing up the two capes.
Listen, I couldn't remember which cape it was, and so I just combined them. We're watching it again now.
Union of Capes.
Now rewind to the 12-minute and 53-second mark. Right before the mysterious narrator says, the Rick Diaz is named in honor of Bartholomew Diaz.
Cape of Good Hope.
And named this by Lieutenant Quattro.
Gundarium, not Gundanium. Are they different things?
No.
Oh my god. I know we usually take this very, very seriously. It feels good to not, for once.
This episode demands not to be taken seriously.
Transformation was the most notable trait among mobile suits of 0085.
It does look like a manta ray. Thanks, Shinta and Kum. They should make a podcast.
Ha. Ooh, some fans consider the Bounduck the most beautiful of mobile suits.
Not just some fans, some diehard fans.
There was just a pun. One of the kids swapped psycho for a Japanese word that is pronounced very similarly to psycho. Gosh, the difference in scale was so great. Funnel. Oh, is this the first time they called them funnels?
It is. I think that's the first time they've used the word funnels.
Wait, is that Char's voice actor talking to Shinta and Kum?
Yes, that was just Char's voice actor talking to Shinta and Kum.
Shing. I thought this was just going to be a very brief, who's that mobile suit? But instead, it's like a whole long...
Yeah.
For a minute, I thought that was going to be for an actual contest.
No, it is. They will really send you to Jupiter.
They're trying to make some new types. That one scene of Sayla.
I think at this point, Sayla has been in more of Double Zeta than she was in Zeta.
Yes.
From just that brief couple of seconds. Oh, Iselina. Matilda. We're just doing all the women.
Now it's just old music and like various cuts.
Yeah,
from...
it's just like a montage of characters, mostly women.
But not entirely.
Right.
There was some good Quattro stuff in there. There's Amuro.
This might just be like fan favorites, especially good scenes. I mean, these are especially good scenes.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't, like, the whole point of this episode is to introduce people to this world, and that montage of scenes would mean nothing to a person who hadn't already watched all of it.
Right. You'd just be like, okay, all these characters look interesting, I guess. Mashima cello. And that's like a painting. That's like a really... Oh wow, these are a bunch of painted backgrounds. A bunch of this is probably concept art that they're just panning over. I mean, I love it, but also weird. Oh, they just are actually explaining.
Just give us a map, yeah.
Lagrange points.
Elliptical orbits.
Where the sides are. That might be the first really clear side map.
It's definitely the first one to have all of them on one screen like that.
Anzen system. Yeah, this is sort of like an explainer on life in space, and also the show. What? Okay. I'm sure this seemed super cool. That is a weird way to introduce your main character. There was just a bunch of very psychedelic computer animation with, like...
Although this is now new animation.
Yeah.
At about 20 minutes into the episode.
But also, this is a bizarre way to introduce your main character.
Yeah.
All kids are new types. Yeah, I mean, it's basically just animation with text explaining their names put over it, and Zhu Dao narrating about, like, life is hard, I have to work as a junk dealer. What? He rides a motorcycle, of course.
Because he's cool like that.
Huh. Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. I assume this is all animation that's going to feature in episodes later. Like, this mm-hmm. is all in actual
this is, yeah,
episodes.
Yeah, this is like an extended trailer.
But there's a whole bunch of cuts of it, and it's all narrated over, which really feels not impactful at all. and sort of like it... I wonder if it will spoil some of the impact later. Like, they revealed Yazan's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could have been really shocking.
Yeah.
And instead, or like, when they reveal that he's alive, you sort of wonder, what is he going to do? Who's he going to fight for? But they make very clear that he's going to be a baddie again here. So there's no question now of, like, does he reform? Does he change sides?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I considered not showing this to you at all out of the risk of spoilers and because it's so silly. But it is the first episode.
Yeah,
like it's a proper episode.
I mean, there is a style of storytelling, right? Where you like tell people what you're going to tell them and then you tell them and then you tell them what you told them. That is a way of telling a story.
Well, and remember that the reason we don't watch the shows like next time on whatever is because from the very beginning they were like, next time on Mobile Suit Gundam, the following characters will die.
Like, let's just tell you exactly what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I do wonder how much of my feelings about this have to do with like contemporary storytelling sensibilities, mm-hmm. which are predicated, I think, much more on shock, like,
right.
you know,
surprise
and so yeah, like part of it could just be how do we tell stories now versus how did we tell stories before. I also wonder, kids may be much less particular about like having stuff revealed,
mm-hmm.
or more likely to forget, or just like less likely to care. It's worth remembering, kids famously will watch the same thing over and over and over and over again, because they get like comfort out of that repetition. You know,
sure.
they want you to read the same book to them half a dozen times. Should we pause?
Yeah.
They want you to read the same book to them half a dozen times in a row in the same sitting.
Yeah. Well, and we can go ahead and watch the next episode right now, which we probably will.
Yeah.
But when this aired, you would have had to wait a week before the next one came out. Easy to forget a lot of things that happen that just flash on screen really quickly.
Yeah. Lots of computer animation that I'm sure looked really cool at the time, but is goofy as heck to us now.
Yeah. Note to self, make a note about that in the podcast for reasons.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of... I think it was on cable, so you wouldn't have been able to watch it. But they did a Johnny Quest reboot
mm-hmm.
that had some like computer animated portions that were like, this part takes place in a computer or whatever, that I thought were so cool in what, mm-hmm. the mid-90s or whenever that was. And I'm sure if I watched that now, I would be like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, probably, yeah.
Or what's the really famous one, reboot?
No. I mean, reboot was all computer animation.
Yeah, but again, like, mm-hmm. would probably look a little cheesy to us now.
Well, oh, definitely.
But like, yeah.
Yeah.
But it feels like a new resource because of the way they're using it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily feel well thought out. It's like, oh, we just want to try all this cool stuff that we can do now. Let's just throw it all in there.
I mean, I assume this was made quickly, cheaply, and by the B team. Or maybe the C team.
For episode 2, we start right at the beginning of the opening. So this time, you can just start the episode when you hear the tone.
We've had these little lapel mic rigs for a really long time, actually, but we haven't bothered to try to use them yet. This is our first time using them. Anime Janai.
Anime Janai.
When we first watched this intro, I pointed out that the English translation of Honto no Kotosa is it's true, and it's kind of ambiguous. It's true that it is not an anime, or it's not an anime and the story is true. But in Japanese, it's quite clear. Like, this isn't an anime, it's a true story, or it's these are true things.
Nina refuses to acknowledge that this is a great opening.
I will say, I found myself thinking when we were watching the first episode that their talk about humanity moving to space is a little different than a lot of other pioneer narratives, because there's no attention drawn in the first two series to like the hardship inherent in that. It's not until we hear Judao talk about like, oh, I have to, like, I'm a young teen, but I work full time just to be able to eat, and I live in a slum, and like,
yeah,
this is the first hint that we've had that like, things are not all rosy and beautiful.
Yeah.
In the space colonies.
The spellings of names in this series are violence. Because his name is Judao.
Judao? Okay.
Watch me be proven wrong in a second, but his name is Judao.
Judao?
I think his name was Judao.
Obviously, we need a gif of that. What? Was the opening of Titan AE, or not the opening, I guess, but was the main character of Titan AE inspired by Judao?
Maybe.
He's also a space junker. We just saved you all from the Titans, and this is the thanks we get.
So did I.
Yeah, they say judo. I like this music.
ヤマで運べないな。何言ってんだ。クロスでここまで来ちゃった。どうする？ナイロンだけ捨てるんだよ。ボロいも受けをしているようだな。お二人さんよ。この仕事はリータには関係ないぜ。それはこっちのセリフだろ。獲物があった時は面白い。 もらってくれ。あ、来たねぞ。待てよ、違反金代わりだよ。当然だろ。まだでもってことないんじゃない？いいじゃん、持ってってもいいけどさ。2年がましん？どっ
God, his face looks like a mask, doesn't it? Or like kabuki makeup.
Yazan with that Sailor Moon running late for school vibe.
They had no idea that that was a Titan suit.
And they...
When they saw...
They might have recognized the uniform. Like, that was a Titan's normal suit, but... Like... They might... they probably wouldn't have known what that means.
Oh my god, I love these little thieves. With no scruples. They're like, sweet, Yazan stole us a new truck. It is full of food.
Full of vegetables. And fruit. Oranges. Oranges might be a good research piece.
They do not seem at all comfortable holding those guns. Where Siazan is just like, all right, you are my squad now. Children.
Come with me, children. Take these rifles.
I recognize my right to bully you into doing this. Kids hiding under.
I think they were with Fa when these guys showed up.
So creepy. Yeah, Camille, not merely childish, but basically catatonic. Stares into space, doesn't say anything, not terribly responsive to stimuli.
I feel like I want to talk to Dr. Shah about that.
This guard is just like biting into the skin of the orange. Didn't peel it. Just. Oh wait, did they call him Orange or Mikan?
I don't remember. Let's go back. Doste.
Because it's relevant.
Oh, okay.
Now rewind to the 10-minute and 26-second mark, right before the phone on the control panel rings.
Well, because Mikan are native to Japan. I don't know that oranges are.
Orange.
Yeah. Mikan are the little, like, thin-skinned, easy-to-peel
ones. Well, he's having a lot of trouble biting through it.
Like, yeah. And he doesn't
seem to know
it. Yeah.
What to do with it.
At least I don't think oranges are native to Japan. I think just the little mandarins are. Shintan-kun off to a good start.
Extremely meaningful there that air and tax are not the same.
Yep.
For a space colonist.
I like that. The eye catch.
Mm-hmm.
What is Yazan's plan here?
What has Yazan's plan ever been?
Just kill a bunch of people, obviously. What? Oh my God. There's just like fruit everywhere. That voice said it was important.
Listen to us that we're kids.
People in this colony are really obnoxious to Aeyug. Oh my God! One of the orphans armed themselves. My cabbages! Some guy's just gathering up oranges to munch on.
Well, that was a perfect shot. If it hadn't been blocked by the cockpit.
Sorry, kick you in the face. The physical movement of the characters is much more comical.
And just more active, more dynamic, but yeah, way more comical.
He just keeps kicking Bright in the face. I love it. I love that.
Just pause here until you hear the tone again.
Oh, just thinking that, like, it really hammers home that for most of the colonies, like, they haven't really been aware of what's happening, and they don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, for Aayug
Titans, doesn't matter to them.
For Aayug, it's been like, we are saving all Spacenoids, and the bulk of Spacenoids have been only, like, tangentially aware that this is even happening, well, and
At least, like, poor, barely surviving colonies like Shangri-La, right?
Is Shangri-La poor, or are there just poor people there?
I guess, yeah, they're poor. We're looking at poor people.
Right. My assumption is that there's horrifying wealth inequality.
Oh, I'm sure. That scene in the truck with Fa and Judo and the other kid.
Ooh, just like class summed up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Where Fa's like, "Don't you care about important political things? Shouldn't you be in school?" And the kids are like, "What?"
It's like, "We have to earn a living. We have to work, or we can't afford food or a place to live." School. But yeah, tied to like the general lack of caring about the war that's been happening, he thinks he can steal a Gundam and either sell it whole or for parts, and that it like it's not going to get him in any trouble. Mm-hmm. There are definitely people who want to buy bits of a Gundam.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like the people who would be buying it, there's a good chance they would be the same people he's stealing it from, right? Like, how do you think they repaired all the Methus all those times?
Fair enough.
I don't know that the Argama in particular was buying scrap, but you gotta know that Aayug is out there buying black market Gundam bits.
That was great. Also, that his dream is being able to send his sister to private school.
Yeah.
They were like, "Oh, this guy we're helping actually will just kill people." Sagusa too? He seems awfully comfortable in this mobile suit cockpit. I know he's used to piloting a little mobile worker, but... How much of the ease with which young people pilot mobile suits is about like adults' perception of kids' ease of adoption of new technology.
Oh, like 85% of it, minimum.
That was fun. What? We just fixed that. Did you just kick Yazan? Oh god, the facial expressions are really just dramatic and good.
It has a sense of energy that reminds me more of First Gundam than of Zeta.
Uh-oh. So some of the buildings, like the port, look very modern, but that mansion that just got clipped looked very old and European.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a power up by moving into a oh no.
So not that great at piloting.
Oh. What are they gonna do in a truck?
I too have seen Star Wars.
But they lost the truck, they didn't get a mobile suit, they lost their mobile worker.
Yep.
Like...
Just a big L for those kids.
Suitcase floating in space, what's that about?
I think it was launched from that ship.
Is it full of gold?
Only time will tell.
I hope you enjoyed watching along with us. You can probably tell that we are already enjoying Double Zeta very much, and we are so excited for season 3, just a few weeks away now. The intro song is Wasp by Misha Dioxin, and the closing music is Long Way Home by Spinning Ratio. You can find links and more in the show notes. And thank you for listening.